You're listening to the Thomas Talks Podcast.
Welcome to Thomas Talks Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything school buses. I'm your host, Tom Zelke from Daimler Lord Trucks North America. Joining me today is Kaylee Edgerly, President and CEO of Thomas Built Buses, and Mark Childers, Powertrain and Technology Sales Manager at Thomas Built Buses. On today's podcast, we'll be talking about the future of student transportation. We'll talk a bit about diesel school bus advancements, electric school buses, and what the future holds for the industry. So let's jump right in. First question, gentlemen. There's been a lot of buzz about electric school buses, and I've heard many say that electric school buses are the future of pupil transportation. I'd like to talk a bit more about that, and how far off is the future of 100% EV fleets? Gentlemen?
So you're asking us to get our crystal ball out, Tom, and say how fast it's coming. I think many people in the industry look back and did something like this years ago, and it was kind of a leap of faith then. And maybe some people are looking at a leap of faith now. I know 2 years ago, 3 years ago, many people we talked to thought it was a leap of faith, but it's here and now coming. It's for real. We're producing in volume and costs are coming down. And I think it's going to hit us in a good way far sooner than anyone expected. We were talking a 10-year evolution maybe a year or two ago. And I really think that could be cut in half, that we could really, within 5 years, see a large segment of the market, the school bus market, be EV. It's coming that fast, and it's not a gimmick. It's for real, and it does great things. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, Kaylee, I agree that a lot of the customers that we're talking to today are very excited about the EV market, and the future is coming. They see it in the conversations we have with them. There's lots of excitement around it. There's planning that they're thinking of. So they're beginning to think this is a real thing, where, like you said, a few years ago, it was a great, idea at some point, but today it's on their doorsteps and they're very excited.
So if the future is electric, why is there still such an emphasis on developing newer and better diesel engines like the Detroit DD5 and DD8?
You want to tackle that one, Mark?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and we still have to get to from point A to point B. And so the continued technology evolution of the engines that we have today and the DD5 and the DD8 is really kind of getting us a bridge so that customers can get to a much cleaner EV solution. And we're not going to let our guard down. We have to continue to evolve and to meet emissions requirements. And that's a goal for us on both fronts. So we kind of have to work both ends of the spectrum here.
Yeah, I'd say the word bridge is the right word, but it's a two-lane bridge, right? And you've got diesel that's still going to be in the fast lane for the near term. And in the other lane off to the right-hand side, you got the EV, but the EV's picking up speed and there's more of those cars on that bridge, and it will just pick up exponentially. But diesel, it's gotten cleaner as well. The advancements in technology, especially on our DD5 and our DD8, the emissions have gone from like this to just minuscule. But there's still carbon dioxide being produced, carbon dioxide. And greenhouse gases. So that's going to still push us kind of responsibly to develop EV as fast as we can.
Guys, do you think in the next 50 years, school buses will no longer be powered by diesel?
I want to take that one first. That's an easy crystal ball question. 50 years, I am 100% confident. Maybe 1% duty case somewhere. But I don't think they're going to be powered by diesel 50 years from now. I think technology is evolving. I think even our own company, Daimler Trucks, holistically has this view by 2050 to be complying with the Paris Agreement and be carbon neutral. But just by 2050, that's 29 years away from now. It's going in that direction. socially responsible, we need to push it in that direction for our climate and generations to come. The diesel today is not toxic, but it's not as good as what some of the future alternatives can be. So, yeah, 50 years from now, it'll be like a classic car, maybe, the diesel school bus, where it's in a museum and we look at it and see how we've evolved over time.
What about fleets who are interested in switching to propane or gasoline? Why isn't gasoline or propane a bridge to EV?
It would appear to be a bridge, you know, engine to get to EV. And there are lots of things to consider when you start to move from a diesel to an electric powered platform. And if a customers are considering that, they have to take into consideration how long it's going to get them from a diesel to an electric. And inserting these other technologies in there could create some operational challenges for them, from having to maintain additional parts, having to maintain and train technicians on different technologies. But the big piece of that is that those two platforms, in terms of the emissions levels and standards, they don't really compare. I mean, it might as well just jump from and move from a diesel to the cleanest technology and not introduce these other technologies that can create some confusion on the part of the overall operations of the vehicle fleet or the school district itself. I just think that there is there's really good evidence to say that, you know, today where we are in the EV evolution in terms of moving to EV, it makes good sense to begin to prepare for that and move from diesel right into the EV, because as we said earlier, Kaylee said earlier, it's here. EV is reliable product for us today. We're producing that today. And, you know, it just makes for a shorter path to get to a cleaner emissions vehicle.
I think in general terms, I agree with you, Mark, that's if you're going to make the transition, go for what's really going to be sustainable 20, 30 years from now, because some of our vehicles run that long. There'll still be some use cases, right? Maybe I need to go back to my bridge analogy, and it's two lane, and then on the shoulder, some of these alternate fuels are running on the shoulder, not that gasoline is an alternate fuel. But there's some people that are in it right now that will want to continue that because they've established some of that infrastructure. But we believe that's the minority versus the majority.
So to be clear, should districts today invest in diesel or electric?
Districts' budgets are sacred. So I would hate to tell them where they should spend their money, especially during these difficult times. They've got tough decisions to make. I think what we'll see is most districts will continue to invest in diesel, and they'll look for creative opportunities where they can start learning and investing in electric. I know a district can't pay two or three times the cost of a diesel bus but to get electric, but there's some creative ways out there that we're seeing districts explore, partner, grant, help different business partners that help them invest in electric. So if I were a district, and I think their budget situation is ever so challenging right now, they have to look for those opportunities so that they can start learning and accelerate the whole transition to electric.
And Kaylee, this question's similar. I know that many districts are eyeing electric school buses, but switching to an electric fleet seems unattainable to some. Are electric school buses as far out of reach for most districts as they seem?
No, there's a lot of work for sure. But you start with one and you grow from there. And we're seeing some districts doing that, and we're seeing some districts even go more than one. And that's what we kind of stand back and say, when does it go from one to 10? And it takes one to start learning and get the infrastructure in place, but there's partners and support services that we try to provide and other folks can provide too to make that transition easier. Mark can give more details because he's in the middle of that.
Yeah, and great lead into that, Kaylee, because we are seeing those customers, you know, look at that smaller investment, one that they can manage, you know, from all across their operations. And then we see, you know, those customers who are doing that are engaging, and then they're going to look to kind of ramp those up. And part of that is we'll, you know, talk a little bit about how do we help them do that. And that's our mission, is to help them think about the future, not just think about that first one or two buses, but kind of help them flesh out their vision for transition to an EV fleet. And how do we do that? We've got some great resources here at Thomas and our team to kind of help answer those questions for them in getting to that larger fleet transition.
But it's about infrastructure and working with utilities and how your facility is set up. So a lot of new questions, but we're trying to build our knowledge base and partner with the right people too, so we can make that easier for them.
So going off that, Kaylee, with the infrastructure, when will EV be attainable for all districts?
Another tough question to answer exactly when. I could guess 10 years, everyone has an opportunity for it. But it comes with speed, it comes with knowledge, it comes with practice sharing across districts, it comes with volume reductions. I often oversimplify things, and I think of, when is it going to be attainable for me to get a flat screen TV and get that tube one off from my living room floor? And that happened so much faster than I thought it would. And you see those prices. I compare the evolution of the electric school bus much to the change from a tube television to a flat screen. It happens with volume and knowledge. And so I think many districts will find it attainable to be in the EV school bus market within 5 years, and certainly all by 10 years from now.
Great. Thanks, Kaylee. And gentlemen, this concludes our podcast. We appreciate you being both here today, and we look forward to the next Thomas Talks podcast. Thank you.